Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyous wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Hag Pesach Sameach to you, which actually on the Hebrew calendar isn't until April 22nd.
So we can still wish everyone a blessed Passover.
Yes, and may tonight's listeners be blessed as we continue our review of the spring appointments that God made with all mankind. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, you are our El Shaddai, our God Almighty, who sent us your Passover lamb, our reason for living. For without your salvation, we have nothing. Because of your resurrection, we can live forever in eternity, for we know that Satan is a defeated foe, to be visually realized at your second coming. We pray for an end to the Ukrainian war and a speedy removal of the Hamas in Gaza. We continue to plead the salvation blood of Yeshua over our unsaved loved ones and also for these recent prayer requests for health. May your shalom encapsulate all believers, and may tonight's lesson meet your approval. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Before the Israeli news, we should comment on Trans Day.
Yes, just to keep up with where the world's going. Not only were children prohibited from entering religious colored eggs for the White House contest, they heralded the fact that it was Trans Day of Visibility.
It was an attack on Easter is what it was.
Biden and his progressive Democrats are constantly declaring their loyalty to the cult of Satanism, in my opinion. They knew over a year ago that March 31st this year would fall on the traditional Easter, and they should have moved the date. What's crazy is they have so many other dates they declare as their own, too.
Well, they even have the whole month of June.
Yeah. You know, they call the trans movement gender affirming. Actually, it's gender mutilating, which is demonic.
But that's where we're at.
Yep. Continuing confirmation on God's soon judgment, which brings us also to the White House treatment of Israel.
And adds to the curse over America, as warned in Genesis 12:3.
Biden has now also issued sanctions against the settlers in Judea and Samaria, you know, they call the West Bank, from using our U.S. banks.
So now they must keep to using local banks.
Yeah, as they must also dodge the many stabbing attacks continuing in the West Bank as well. Meanwhile, the IDF has now withdrawn its troops from the Shiva Hospital in central Gaza, where approximately 500 of Hamas terrorists have been dismantled. Also, in southern Gaza, about a dozen more terrorists, including senior operatives, were eliminated.
Bottom line, progress continues to be made.
Yep. And plans to go into Rafah will happen, but first they want to move the Palestinians out of harm's way.
So, back up north?
Yeah, or prearrange safe places still in the south.
And that will take some time.
But my concern is that Hamas, through these underground tunnels, some of them still working, or even just mixing in with the civilians, will reintegrate in the north.
Which is what happened in Shiva Hospital.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the UN and the U.S. are still pressuring Netanyahu to make a sacrificial deal in spite of the fact Lebanon's Hezbollah continue to fire rockets in northern Israel, as well as some rockets from Syria and Iraq.
Therefore, Israel carried out an attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus.
They did. Killed approximately 8 high-ranking Iran's Revolutionary Guard leaders. Sadly, this morning, though, Netanyahu lamented the unintended strike, killing 7, working for a humanitarian aid group in Gaza, of which they are thoroughly investigating. All the while, protesters continue to call for early elections, especially over the hostage situation and the upcoming vote on the drafting of the ultra-Orthodox into its Israeli Defense Force. Netanyahu, who, by the way, just had hernia surgery, he has his work cut out for him.
And then there's Iran's proxy Houthis from Yemen.
For sure. They are also firing rockets at Israel's most southern city of Eilat. The Houthis have already disrupted the shipping routes in that area. But a new one into Eilat came on Sunday from the area of Jordan, who say it is also a group from Hamas who must have escaped from Gaza. Remember, Israel has had a long-standing peace agreement with Jordan.
And what will King Abdullah do now?
We will see.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll add you to our monthly mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. All right, so a quick review.
Well, of course, because we looked at one of the most important verses to comprehend, and it's Leviticus 23, verse 2 last week, that basically tells us that God has made specific appointments with his people. Think about how amazing that is.
And these are not Jewish-only feasts.
Right. We also explained how Jesus fulfilled four of the seven appointments, plus the Sabbath, which he also fulfilled, and his Shabbat lives in us. We are now spiritual Jews, and under the new covenant of Yeshua, we have freedom from the law. We do not need to adhere to any legalism, for it availeth nothing. Rather, be born again.
As referenced by Paul in Galatians 6:15.
That's right. Hallelujah.
There are those who do like to observe some of the traditions.
Yeah. Some believers choose to abstain from work on Saturday, or wear the tzitzit, or prayer shawls, or yarmulkes. And of course, we have the freedom to do that and whatever we want, but never as a mandatory thing. Because honestly, the most pleasing to God is getting closer to him by spending more study time in his word. So, we also saw in Exodus 12 that 4 days before Passover, they would pick a lamb and examine it for any flaws or blemishes for those 4 days. And that would be between Nisan 10 and Nisan 14. And then years later, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, also on Nisan 10.
Which came to be known as Palm Sunday.
Yes, because they waved palm branches.
Then he too was examined in the temple for 4 days.
Yes, he was examined just like an animal lamb would have been for any flaws until Nisan 14, when they ate the Seder meal, or tradition calls it the Last Supper, and that would have been on a Wednesday evening. The next morning, after beating him, they put him on the cross from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. on Thursday, while it was within the 24 hours of Passover on Nisan 14, which lasts until sundown. As the sun was setting just before the high Sabbath day of unleavened bread, it would begin and changing the calendar then to Nisan 15 at sundown. He was laid in the tomb.
They didn't even have time to finish the burial incense.
Right. And unleavened bread was an extra Sabbath. And then the next day after that would have been Saturday. So they had to wait until Sunday. Now the 17th of Nisan. And Mary Magdalene, a woman, was the first to discover the tomb was empty.
Before we go further, let's explain the civil and religious Hebrew calendars.
Okay. The first Passover in Egypt was such an important event, both typologically and spiritually, that God therefore told Moses, as recorded in Exodus 12, to make Nisan now your first month. So using the same names of the months, Nisan, also called Abib, would become the first month instead of the seventh. So after Exodus 12, when you're reading, they would go by their new biblical calendar, beginning with Nisan as its first month.
As a spiritual rebirth from slavery to freedom.
Exactly. Kind of like our rebirth. And most of us remember that date as the beginning of our freedom from the bondage of sin.
In other words, they would now have two calendars.
Yeah, a new religious calendar and their first regular civil calendar that begins in Tishrei, which of course commemorates the recreation of the world and of man and woman. Anyhow, both first months, Nisan and Tishrei, would be extremely important. And in Joel 2:23, he speaks of these 2 months, Nisan and Tishrei, and that they would have 2 major rains that coincide with the 6 appointments of God.
With the 3 spring feasts in Nisan and the 3 fall feasts in Tishrei.
With Pentecost being the only feast that stands alone 50 days after first fruits. So again, for you deeper thinkers and probable nugget searchers, always know that after Exodus 12, when reading the scriptures, and come across a date that says in the second and the third, etc. month, you count from Nisan on the religious biblical calendar. But before Exodus 12, you only use the first or civil calendar.
Starting in Tishrei.
Mm-hmm. And that is really very important. That's Hebraic Roots 101, and it's a great piece of knowledge, especially for teachers. And they should never forget this. Or you'll never know what season it is, thereby not understanding why they might be doing or saying certain things. Let's read Exodus 12, verse 1.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
So again, the 2 calendars is kind of like us. We have a date of our physical birth, and we also have an even more important date when you were born again into a new spiritual life. We suggest keeping the numbered months of both calendars taped in the back of your Bible, as it's extremely helpful when studying, so to know the name of the month.
Therefore, its significance to the context and God's timeline.
Mm-hmm. For instance, it might say, let's take the book of Haggai. It says in the 6th month, God warned the people.
We know then it's the season of Teshuvah.
Right, when repentance was highly suggested. And by the way, if you send us a stamped self-addressed envelope, we will send you one.
Or you can print it out from our webpage.
Okay, Passover is memorialized as the escape from Egypt's slavery. But for all of us personally, it's a type of escaping the world's slavery to sin.
A time of remembrance as to what Christ did for us.
The removal of all our leaven, our personal sins by his sacrifice as the unblemished, sinless Lamb of God. Leaven or yeast, as when used in bread, always expands and puffs up.
In Scripture, it is a type of sin.
Yes, as in pride, which puffs up oneself. And each year prior to Passover, the Hebrews remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin, soon to be removed from their souls when they sacrifice the Passover lamb.
Yeah, most Jews still don't see that Jesus is that lamb.
No, not yet, but he is, and for anyone in the whole world who wants to receive him.
Amen.
According to John 19:30, after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, one of his 7 famous phrases was, when he said, tetelestai, meaning it is finished.
Which also means paid in full.
Yep. And very important words, because these same words were written on parchment and given to all convicts when they had finished serving their time.
When their debts were paid in full.
Exactly. You see, God is the judge, and you are the criminal who commits the crime called sin. And there is a debt to pay for your crimes, unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for your crimes by taking the death penalty for you, thereby canceling your debt for all sins, past, present, and future.
You know, why doesn't everyone do that?
A host of stupid reasons, but so grateful I chose this, his free gift, and will live forever with him, along with millions of others who became wise and chose Christ.
Praise the King.
Mm-hmm. So again, Passover is the first of seven appointments which Jesus fulfilled, along with the next three, unleavened bread and first fruits, and 50 days later on Pentecost. The other three are yet to be fulfilled in some fall season.
Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles.
And another thing about Palm Sunday, it was the only day Jesus allowed them to call him king. Now that says a lot, because during the reign of the coming Antichrist, when Satan desires his kingship with worship, and we know he's a mimicker of Christ, I believe the Antichrist will very likely declare himself king and God on a Palm Sunday as well.
Because Jesus did on Nisan 10.
Exactly. After all, Scripture does say that 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Antichrist sits in the temple as God.
Called the abomination in Daniel 9:27.
But here's my gold nugget and one of the dots that we have connected. If the tribulation begins on Tishri 10, a Yom Kippur,
which for many reasons we believe it will,
then 3.5 years or 42 months from Yom Kippur lands exactly on Nisan 10. Then, 3.5 years from that, Jesus returns in the second coming on the Day of Atonement.
And you know, that would be very fitting.
Yes, because Jesus must still fulfill, literally, Yom Kippur.
Okay, let's expand on the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Okay. Historically in Egypt, after they applied the blood to the doorposts, the death plague had come and the Passover lamb was eaten. They quickly left Egypt after sundown, therefore now the 15th of Nisan. And they camped at Sukkot.
And they also retrieved the bones of Joseph.
Right, as referenced in Genesis 50 and Exodus 14. Then on the 16th, they camped at Etham.
Numbers 33:6.
And the next morning, still the 16th until sundown, they journeyed to Pi Haroth, reaching the Reed Sea in the evening, therefore now Nisan 17. The Hebrews crossed through the parted sea through most of the night, when the Egyptians entered also, and where God destroyed them all, as he let the waters fall back into the sea during the morning watch.
Which is between 2 and 6 a.m. Exodus 14.
Centuries later, also on Nisan 17, Jesus would put the nail in the coffin of Satan by rising from the dead. Also during the morning watch, on the same anniversary date of the Feast of First Fruits, in fulfillment.
For he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
Oh, he sure is. Do you have any idea how so many never recognize that fact of how God very accurately and intricately, typologically, pieced this all together?
Well, you know, only God could.
Oh, no way could they say it's just a coincidence. We are so blessed to know our Hebraic roots.
Yep, it's been a huge learning tool.
Mm. And always keep in mind that you are blessing God when any of us shares this information.
And we pray you all will.
So again, as a fulfillment on Passover day before sundown, still Nisan 14, after Jesus' side was pierced at 3 o'clock, his body was taken down just before the high holy day, which was an extra Shabbat would begin. We see in John 19:31, he did refer to it as the high Sabbath day, which according to Leviticus 23 begins the 7 days of unleavened bread at sundown, now Nisan 15.
But still on Thursday.
This began the week of unleavened bread, where no yeast, representing sin, could be eaten or even exist anywhere in the house.
Yeshua rose early Sunday morning on Nisan 17.
The Feast of First Fruits. And by the way, it might not always fall on the 17th, but is always on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. This year is April 28th. The Jewish people simply call the entire 8 days the season of Passover,
which includes three feasts.
By the way, Nisan 17 is also the anniversary of when the Jews' evil enemy Haman was hung in the book of Esther, sparing the death of all the Jews, thereby granting them life.
And also on Nisan 17, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat.
How about that? And that also represented new life, Genesis 8:4. But remember, that was on their civil calendar because it happened before Exodus 12. Again, reading after Exodus 12, we always go to the religious calendar. Okay, this next scripture is important, for it will help you understand why Mary could not touch Jesus when she first saw him, as it was the Feast of First Fruits. Honey, read Leviticus 23:10 and 11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest, and that would be the barley, to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Jesus, as priest, also presented himself before the Father in heaven at the morning oblation, which is about 9 a.m. Remember when Mary Magdalene, being the first to see him resurrected, wanted to embrace him? But he instructed her not to touch him at this time, for he had not yet gone before his Father to fulfill the wave offering. Because according to the Jewish law, the priests were not to have any contact with anyone for 3 days till after this special first fruits offering in the temple. So Jesus really would fulfill every requirement, 3 days in the grave and then not touching till he went to the Father and presented himself. He did tell Mary, and that was Mary Magdalene, to go to my brethren, telling them he was about to ascend to his Father. That's John 20 and Hebrews 9, verse 12. So later he returned, later that same day, still Sunday, he appeared to his disciples and encouraged them to touch him, Luke 24:39. So he fulfilled the wave offering by quickly leaving the earth, presented himself to the Father, and returned, fulfilling every aspect of the Feast of First Fruits. So now he could therefore be touched, even eating fish and honey with them. So that answers the troubling question that many have always had. Now, if you have not received his free gift of salvation, do it quickly. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.